Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 72, stanzas 1 and 4. Lord, hear me when I pray, and answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, come ye and seek my face, my heart and lips their answer speak, thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. 1 and 4 of Psalter 72.
Portion of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon, you can find recorded in the Acts of the Apostles and thereof the second chapter. Acts 2, but first the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Greeks and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, we try to draw nigh to Thee. Give us the spirit of grace and of supplications, for we may only truly pray, as the Spirit itself does give us utterance, that Thou may be then feelingly and believingly in the midst of us, that we may receive a request, that we may receive a supplication within our hearts that may ascend higher than the ceiling of this church, that it may be received even in the heavens above. For we may commemorate in this day the pouring out of thy Holy Spirit. But it was in a day, as we have read together, where thy people, thy disciples, they were together, all in one place not only, but they were also in one accord. Oh, they had one heart, they had one need, they had one desire, they had one longing, and they were waiting for the promise which was given unto them. Oh, Lord, that it may be in the heart also of each and every one of us, that we may be bound together at thy throne of grace. For truly there were differences between those who waited in that day in an outward way, in the way of their characters, but they had yet one heart above all this, by which they were so united together, and their cry, their prayer was received by thee. Oh, that thou may unite us truly as a people, that we may seek not only the things that are outward in this life, for which we ask thee each and every day, the daily blessings which thou dost still give unto us and unto our children, but that the need of our souls and the glory of thy name may be bound upon our hearts, that our hearts may cry unto thee in the famine of our days, wherein thy spirit seems to go out not as heretofore, that thou may bless and sanctify thy word, that thou may go with thy word of truth not only to the ends of the earth, not only to the Gentiles of this day and unto the Jews of old, but also unto us and our dear children as we are traveling to a great and to a never-ending eternity. Lord, thou knowest how undeserving that we are of this blessing. We have forfeited all rights in our deep fall in paradise. And each and every day again, we do multiply our iniquity and the reasons wherefore that thou shouldest hide thy face from us, and that thou wouldst pass us by. But we beseech thee that thou may also look upon thy only begotten Son. We have heard it in this morning hour. What is the work of thy dear and Holy Spirit? That he may unite the soul unto the Son. O Lord, wilt thou grant us knowledge then of that Son? In the first place, the knowledge of our need for him. O, who of us, of ourselves, has any feeling for him? Who has any love for him? Who has any need for him? Lord, thou must work it in our hearts, we beseech thee, that thou wouldst do it then for thy name's sake, that thou wouldst convince of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Do show unto us our wretchedness and our misery. Wilt thou give us to see that our debt is as high as the heavens, and that our corruption is from the crown of our head to the sole of our foot, that there is no cure for us in our own strength. Oh, that there may be a people that come to the end of their own work, that they may be a despairing of all that is to be found in ourselves, and that thou may open unto them thy only begotten Son to say, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Oh, that thou wouldst reveal thyself in the poor days in which we are living with our children, that the mouths also may go open when the heart may be open, that it may speak and that it may say, O come, and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what he has done unto my soul. Oh, make him precious unto us, Lord, and not only for the first time, when thou dost open the eyes, and when thou dost make to exclaim glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men, but also that thou would bring thy people out of the prison, where we are able to sin it all away, but we are not able to bring ourselves back again. Oh, that thou would speak unto Cyrus. Wilt thou open the leaved gates? Wilt thou deliver thy people from bondage? Oh, bring them back, Lord. And wilt thou give them so to glorify thee as it was in the days gone by? Oh, thou sayest, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Oh, Lord, that is so true. Oh, then who can put his hand of thy people in their own bosom and take it out clean? We are so guilty before thee. Oh, take reasons out of thyself. Look upon us, Lord. It all belongs to thee. Thou art the king of thy church. Thou art on the throne. Thou art all power is given unto thee in heaven and in earth. Send forth thy spirit then, O Lord, even in this day. Prick our hearts. Give us to cry out, men and brethren, what shall we do that there may be room for that mediatorial work of thy only begotten Son, that people may be given to be drawn after him, that their hearts may go out after him in a true and a living faith. Oh, bless, Lord, lead thy people in those blessed steps of grace, that they may be given to know more and more of that blessed work of that divine Trinity that we have heard of in this morning hour. Oh, what great riches there are available in thee, oh, Lord, for thy dear people. Oh, give a holy jealousy to young and old together, that we may seek those blessings that we cannot miss upon our journey. Increase the number of thy servants. Oh, could it be even in this time? Send them forth, Lord, that are truly converted, that are truly called by thee, to bring forth thy word. For else it will be to the overturning of all that is good. But when they will send out those of thine own, whether they be in their own eyes so weak and so unable, but thou, Lord, art able to give them ability. Wilt thou send them forth and strengthen all those that bring thy word, thy servants over the length and breadth of this whole world. Increase their number. Remember those that are weak. Also our brother in St. Catherine's, thou knowest the need also of his body, many concerns. Oh Lord, we beseech thee. Wilt thou remember him? Wilt thou strengthen him? And wilt thou give solution as thou alone art able, that he may continue his many labors in the midst of our denomination? Lord, that thou may remember all those that have bring thy word. And those students also, they have to take an exam. Oh Lord, help them therein. They have to bring thy word. Help them therein. And could it please thee to give that him, that he who hopes to be sent out in the future, oh Lord, that thou would give what is necessary. Oh Lord, that thou may remember us. Remember us as a congregation also. Oh, do give that spirit to fathers and to mothers and to teachers and all that stand before our rising generation. Oh, who of them may hear yet of that work, that may see it also in the life of thy people. Lord, we live in such a poor day. Oh, come now, work in fathers, mothers, work in teachers, work in us as office bearers. Shed forth thy spirit and give that children and young people also may be included in that kingdom. Oh, Lord, help us in this hour. Give us strength, give us wisdom, give us clarity, give us that we may bring forth the things new and old out of thy law. Make us faithful in the warning, in the preaching, and that thou wouldst draw many unto thee and make the hearts to burn after thee as thou alone art able to do it. Lord, give thy spirit, and yet in this hour we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 176, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O God, to us show mercy, and bless us in thy grace. Cause thou to shine upon us the brightness of thy face. And what follows in all the stanzas of Psalter 176. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, Acts chapter 2, and thereof the first four verses, Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So far, the words of our text. The coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. First, the promise fulfilled by this coming. Second, the confirmation received with this coming. And third, the matter contained in this coming. The coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. First, the promise fulfilled by this coming. Second, the confirmation received with this coming. And third, the matter contained in this coming. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the day of Pentecost, that is what, children? That is a feast already of the Old Testament, wherein there was a commemoration. Commemoration of what? Well, we know that the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And after they were delivered out of Egypt, then 50 days later, and then they came to Mount Sinai. And there the Lord, he established that people as a nation. Thus it was, as it were, the beginning of a new church. There they were given the law by the Lord. And thus, every year again, the children of Israel, they did commemorate this giving of the law and the establishment of this nation. There were such religious feasts of the children of Israel, but there were also feasts that had to do with their agricultural season. And at this time, these two feasts coincided one with another, because at the same time, it was the Feast of Weeks. And the Feast of Weeks was the feast that they did rejoice in the first fruits of the harvest. So when they began to harvest all of the crop, then they would take the very first part of that harvest and they would wave that before the Lord, and they would, as it were, show it to the Lord to acknowledge that that harvest that was coming from the Lord, and they were looking forward and asking the Lord that he would give the rest of that harvest. Thus, two feasts, they were commemorated together. And now we read that the day of Pentecost, that was fully come. Thus it is 50 days. It was the time that they may commemorate that day. And it was also then, because we know that the Lord Jesus' death and resurrection, that was right at the time of the Passover. So that means that it was now also 50 days after the Passover. And it was after now 50 days after that the Lord Jesus had also risen from the dead. Thus we see that the Lord in his providence, he is making a comparison. When Christ, he is taken out of the grave, to that time that the children of Israel, they are also taken out of the grave. They were taken out of the land of Egypt from their slavery, delivered from their enemies. At this time, now, was the institution of another church. That is the institution of the New Testament church. That would be a different manifestation of that church, because that would not be any longer just the Jewish nation, but that was to be now, they were sent out, we have heard that, children, they were sent out now not only to the Jews, beginning at Jerusalem, but they had to go out unto all the nations. And then we know what happened on this day. There were 3,000 persons who were convinced of their sin. 3,000 persons who were converted by the Lord. And thus we see the beginning. It is, as it were, the first fruits of the harvest that was to follow in that whole New Testament time that was to come. Because we read the Lord Jesus, he has said to his disciples just before this time, he has said, "Say ye not, there are 4 months till harvest." But he said, "I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest." Thus, this new time, this New Testament time, that would be the time of the harvest of the church of God. That work of harvesting, that is not directly the work of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, because we heard this morning there are different persons in the Holy Trinity, and to each of those is attributed in a special way. They are all one, so they are all involved in all, but in a special way, the Father, he is, that the work of the creation is attributed to the Father, the work of redemption is attributed to the Son, and the work of the application is attributed to the Holy Spirit. Thus, this work of harvesting, that is in a very special way the work of the Holy Spirit of the Lord, as he will gather the fruits of the death and the suffering of Christ, and as he will be sent out by Christ, who has ascended, as we have heard, to the right hand of his Father. Thus, the harvest time that is a busy time. The farmers, we know that here in our, in this portion of the country, the harvest time, a very busy time, the harvest time, that is also a short time. There is just a short time when that harvest is ripe and all of those fruits, they are going to be gathered in. Children, young people, and then maybe if your father is such a farmer that he says, now is not the time to play. No, now is the time to work. Because we have only a short time, they say in our language, you must make hay when the sun shines. Now is the time that we have to bring in that harvest, because when that harvest time is done, then there is no bringing in that harvest anymore. The disciples, they are chosen by the Lord. They are commanded by the Lord to do this work. But we read that the Lord Jesus says they should not go until that Spirit of the Lord is given unto them. Behold, he says, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. What were the disciples? They had not their own power. We have not our own power. They had to go under the power of the Spirit of the Lord alone, and thus they must wait. They are but an instrument in the hand of the Lord. Thus, this Spirit of the Lord on the day of Pentecost is a Spirit that was promised unto them. They needed it because otherwise all of their labors, they would be in vain. And the Lord Jesus has spoken of that Spirit many times to his disciples about that Comforter who the Father would send in his name, and that he would bring all things to their remembrance, whatever that he has said unto them. Thus he would give to them the ability to do their work. That coming of the Spirit of the Lord, that was not just a coming of the power of Christ. It was not just the coming or the exertion of the power of the Holy Spirit, but as we heard in this morning, that Spirit, he is a separate person than the Father and the Holy Ghost. And we cannot comprehend these things, but we may receive them as they are written in the Word of God. As we have heard, he has spoken about with personal pronouns. Thus, the coming of that third person in the Holy Trinity that is of a similar significance to the coming of the second person in the Holy Trinity. When did the second person come, children? The second person, who is that? That is, you say, the Lord Jesus, that is right. When did he come? Say he came at Christmas time. That is right. Then he came from heaven and he took upon him a human nature, and the whole world knows when it is Christmas, right? And you, did you know that this morning before you come to church that today was Pentecost? Does your neighbor know that it is Pentecost today? Why does the world know nothing about Pentecost? It is because in our days, that work of the Spirit of the Lord is much neglected. The work of the Spirit of the Lord is much despised. And that has much to do with the error of Arminius that has spread as an infection through all the so-called Christianity of our day, wherein there is power that is attributed to man by the common operations of the Holy Spirit, power that is attributed to man in a spiritual way by common grace alone. And we hope, young people, that you listen and that you are never going along with such a soul-destroying doctrine, because it is in the name of Christianity leading men unto the enemy of Christ, there to be with him forever and forever. Fallen man, he had not the ability to merit that salvation. Fallen man has no ability to apply that salvation either. Else we have to do away with all what the Bible says about man being dead in trespasses and in sins. Else we have to deny the depth, how deeply that man has fallen in his covenant had Adam. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. What were they doing there? They were waiting. There they were praying. There they were supplicating. Are we waiting? Are we praying? Are we supplicating? These are the activities that went before that sending forth of the Spirit in a very special way unto the church of God. They did not know how that was going to take place. They did not know what they were going to experience, but they knew that the Lord had promised it unto them. And just upon that promise, they were leaning. Just upon that promise, they were waiting, they were depending, and they were bringing that promise back unto the Lord who had given it unto them. Were they disappointed? They were not. Our second thought, the confirmation received with this coming. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Suddenly, that Spirit of the Lord, He is coming in a sudden way, we read. You say they were expecting Him. He was promised unto them. That is true. But they did not know when. And they did not know how. And thus we read, suddenly, there was a great difference from one moment unto that next moment when something happens suddenly. Then God, He is so sovereign. He comes at His own time. He comes in His own way. He does just what He Himself pleases. Do you have to wait? How long have you been waiting? Are you discouraged because you have to wait? Do you think that waiting is not the work of God's people? We do not read it in the Bible. We read just the opposite, that is now exactly the work of God's church, to wait. They are not waiting as if they are sitting in an easy chair. No, but that waiting, that is an active waiting. Is your waiting also an active waiting? Maybe. Then you can hardly even pray anymore. You say, I have been waiting so long. You know what Habakkuk says. He says, the vision is yet for an appointed time. The time is appointed. He says, but in the end it shall speak, and it shall not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it will surely come, and not tarry. In the end it shall speak. And when the Lord, He is making a waiting people, and when that people, they can, by that waiting, become so discouraged, then they may hear in the Word of God, that the Lord, He is not a man that He should lie, neither is He the Son of Man that He should repent. Moses, he says, if ye seek the Lord, ye shall find Him. Do you believe that, young people? He says, if thou seek Him with all thy heart, if thou seek Him with all thy soul, then thou shalt find Him. Do you know what is the mark of that church? The mark of that church, that true church, is that they continue to wait, that they continue to pray, to supplicate unto the Lord. What does Job say? He says, shall the wicked always call upon God? Temporary faith cannot wait. It cannot wait it out. It becomes so discouraged, and then it goes away. But there is another people. They have to wait. And you say, now go away. And they say, to whom shall I go? Where shall I go? Is that also your heart's, what your heart says? Here is a people. They were also waiting. And then suddenly, and then unexpectedly, when they are praying, then the Lord is coming. Suddenly, the sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. That is now the first sign of the presence of the Spirit of the Lord. It is not the Spirit. It is a sign that is going along with the coming of the Spirit of the Lord. A sound. It is a mighty sound. What is the purpose of a sign? A sign is a representation. Something that we can hear, something we can see, something we can feel, something we can taste. It is a representation of something that cannot actually be seen in its essence. The Lord knows the needs of His people. The Lord knows the needs of His servants. He knows the needs of His disciples. He knows that they need faith. He knows that they need the exercise of faith. He knows how weak, He knows how frail that people are. He knoweth, we read, that we are but dust. And He gives, with that coming of the Spirit, He gives a sign, a blessed sign. We don't have that sign anymore today. We do have some signs. You know what they are, right, children? From time to time we see that. Baptism, then there are signs. There is water. Lord's Supper, then there are signs. And we're not speaking about that here. Here, when the Spirit came, then there was a sign. Why do we not have such signs today? We have what they did not have. What do we have? We have the Word. What did they have? They had the Old Testament, but they did not yet have the New Testament. What advantage do we have in this, in the New Testament, over just the Old Testament? A great one. Why? Do you ever read it? If you go back to the Old Testament, and you will see what the Lord has prophesied, what was going to come in the future, who can do that? Only the Lord knows the future, right? And you see what the Lord, He has prophesied in the Old Testament, and you see exactly how the Lord has fulfilled that over many, many years. Not one jot, not one tittle that is left out by the Lord. And then we can see by this the divinity of the Word of God. Then we may be convinced, we may be left without excuse to know that we have thereby the Holy Word of God Himself. Then we do not need another sign. Are you convinced that that Scripture, that is the Holy Word of God, in this time, then the Lord gave a different help. They lacked that help. The Lord, He gave a different help. He gave them signs. And these signs, they have very, very appropriate characteristics that may represent the things that they do signify. What is this sign? We read, it is a rushing, mighty wind. So we read in the Bible about Euryclidon, that was the tempestuous wind, Paul says. So we would say for us, we know what it is for the wind to blow, but we would say in a storm, a hurricane, a tornado, that is a roaring sound. And this rushing mighty wind, when you hear it, then you are what? Then you are afraid. You see, we tie everything down. Why? Otherwise, everything is blown away. And we hope that our house that is built strong enough, then we can hide in that house. Why? Because that wind, that is, children, what? Strong. Very, very strong. What does the Lord want to say by this? A rushing mighty wind, that Spirit of the Lord, He is very, very strong. Can you fight against that wind when it comes? What can you do? Then you feel how little that you are. And then you feel how mighty that the Lord is. So it is, that Spirit of the Lord. It is an irresistible spirit. There is not one soul that is able to stand. Every enemy before this wind of the Spirit of the Lord, He is coming down. Oh, did your heart, was your heart ever overcome by the might, by the power of this Holy Spirit? Do you ever receive hope in your soul? When you say, I cannot be converted, my heart that is so hard. You ever feel that, young people? The drawing of your heart after this world? Do you ever feel that? Do you ever say the love for this? Everybody has their idols, right? Our idols. Say, how could that be broken? That is very strong, isn't it? Do you know what the Lord can do? He can take away your desire for it. Would that not be a wonder? Because with all your might, you cannot fight against that desire, can you? And the Lord, in one moment, He is able to take away that Spirit of the Lord. He is much mightier. He is irresistible. And when the Lord will give to you a desire after Him, then it will overcome all those desires that you know in your heart, you feel in your heart. They are sinful desires, but your desire keeps going out after Him. Oh, wretched man that I am. That is what the Apostle Paul, he had to say. Where is the hope? Where is the hope? That rushing mighty wind, that is the hope. Here is the hope for the disciples also. They have a great work to do. How can they take away the desires of all the nations of the world that are going after all the idols of this world? They cannot break that one desire in their own heart. How can they break them in the heart of others? How shall they convince one man of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment? Is that not utterly impossible? Here is the hope of the disciples. Oh, the Lord, in His wisdom, then He gives a sign that is so appropriate that the faith of the disciples of the Lord, when they must go out to do their labors, that that faith that may be so strengthened, it may be made so bold, that they may go forward in all their weakness. When they have nothing from their own side, when they are just a disciple, when they have no education maybe, when they have no ability to speak, oh, then the Lord says, I am coming with you. And then they may, even in their own minds, you hear the help that the Lord gives to His people and to His servants in a special way, in their own mind. Then it will always go back and they will feel something of that power. When they may hear again, even in their own memory, that rushing, that mighty wind. Will you remember it, children? Will you remember it, boys and girls? Young people? Will you remember it when you go on your knees in your bedroom? Will you remember it then and say, oh Lord, that wind, that rushing, that mighty wind, wilt thou come, wilt thou break my stony, my hard heart? And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat on each of them. That's the second sign. The Lord is so good to His people. So good to His people. Not just one sign, but He will encourage. Remember Gideon? When he had to do his work, and the Lord, he goes before him, as it were. And now the Lord also goes before His disciples. He knows all of their needs. And He has all of His own wise means. Cloven tongues, we read, like as of fire. What do they represent? A tongue? A tongue that speaks? Thus, that represents the Word. Not their Word, no, but the Word of the Lord. The Word of the Lord that may go out with the tongue of the disciples, because they are now going to be His tongue upon the world. He is in the heavens, and they have to go to speak how? They have to speak in His name, and the Spirit says, you will now speak as you are moved by the Holy Ghost. Like as of fire. Fire, what is that? It represents something. We read that in the Word of God. In the Word of God, we read when the presence of the Lord comes, then often then there is also the presence of fire. Moses, the burning bush, children of Israel, they're going through the wilderness. That cloud, that pillar of fire. So the Lord, He is coming. Mount Sinai, that is burning, it is on fire. Elijah, the sacrifice, the Lord is sending fire from heaven, the presence of the Lord. And not only the presence of the Lord, but also something of the glory of the Lord, the majesty of the Lord. Thus, when the companies of Ahab are coming to Elijah, the Lord is destroying them by fire. Then it is speaking about His justice against the enemies of the Lord. The word of the Lord being as a fire, as a sharp, as a two-edged sword, purifying, because it is rooting out the lie, it is burning up the lie. Did that fire of the word ever burn up the lie in our heart? And it is purifying, it is making the truth to come forth as silver and as gold that can withstand and that is tried in the fire warming the heart as the men that are going on the way to Emmaus, enlightening the disciples, giving them light into the mysteries of the truth, that they may be able to go forth with that fire and to bring that to all the nations of the world. Cloven tongues like as a fire. So we see in a special way how that the Lord has chosen these very fitting signs for the sake of His disciples, for their suitability of the representation of the things which are represented. And then we see how the Lord is using the natural along with the supernatural, that it may bear up along with that supernatural, that it may be to the strengthening of His servants. He is not working outside of the reason. It is all above the reason, but it is not outside of the reason. There is nothing unreasonable about the true work of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord. But now also what is contained in this coming. Let us see, sing 1 Psalter 372, 1 and 2. Come, all ye servants of the Lord, lift up your voice with one accord, Jehovah's name to bless. Ye that are standing night by night within the house of His delight, His glorious name confess. 1 and 2 of Psalter 372.
Thank you.
Christ is never absent from his church. In his majesty, Godhead, grace, and spirit. Neither was he ever absent from his church. That is, also before he came in his human nature, he was always with that church. And yet there is a difference when Christ came into this world in his human nature, in his person. What is the difference? That had to do with two things. In the first place, it would never be the same for the church of God in the world. That is, in the Old Testament time and in the New Testament time. Because the Old Testament church was a people who lived under the shadows. Thus, clarity was a characteristic of the New Testament church over against the Old Testament church, which is naturally coming, of course, in the way of the fulfillment of all of the prophecies. Then there is clarity. With that clarity, there is also coming a certain assurance. And we know, of course, that the gospel that would now go out unto all the nations of the world, so it would never be different and never be the same as it was in the Old Testament. That is in the first place. In the second place, it was, of course, different also for those of God's people who lived in the time of Christ's coming. So, Joseph and Mary, Zacharias and Elizabeth, Simeon and Anna, they literally lived and experienced Christmas. The disciples also literally experienced Good Friday and Easter and the Ascension and Pentecost. But not only did they literally experience these things, but also they may experience something of what is contained in these special times, in these special days for the true church of God. The Holy Spirit, the same as the Son, was never absent from his church. Not from the beginning of that church. And yet, there is a difference when the Holy Spirit came to his church on the day of Pentecost in how that his presence that is experienced. When he came to his church actually in his person. Thus, the Bible that speaks about the Spirit of the Lord given unto that church in different measures. You know, children, that the prophet Elisha, he asked for a double portion of the Spirit of Elijah. And Elijah says, if you will see me when I go into the heaven, then it will be so. And so then it was. John the Baptist, we read that he was filled with the Holy Ghost. That was even from his mother's womb. His mother was filled with the Holy Ghost when that babe leaped in her womb. His father was filled with the Holy Ghost at his birth. Paul writes to the Ephesians that unto everyone is given the grace of God according to the measure of the gift of Christ. What do we read about Christ himself? John writes that God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. That is, to Christ. God gives not the Spirit by measure to him. Thus he received that Spirit of the Lord without measure. In him was all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That is, then different from his church, who receives that Spirit in a certain measure and are not able to receive it even as Christ. On Pentecost, we read that the disciples, they are filled with the Holy Ghost, and that is for a special purpose. It is an official purpose. They are given a work to do. It is the work of the ministry. And we read that they receive special gifts for this ministry. We read, and they began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. How fitting, because they needed children to know other languages, right? So, if the Lord sends out a minister, then what does the Lord do? Then the Lord gives to that minister gifts. Do they need the gifts from their own side? They don't need them. Because the Lord, when he sends out his servants, he gives them those. He does not give them everything they want. He doesn't give everything they ask for. But he gives to them what he knows that they need when he will send them out. But now those external gifts, they are not the most important. That they may speak with tongues. What is the most important? Those disciples, they needed that gift of the Spirit. They needed to be instructed by the Spirit. They needed to be led by the Spirit into the mysteries of Christ. This is the most important. Do you believe this? Do you believe that this is the most important? In a minister of the word, that he is led by the Spirit of the Lord? Or do we think more of the gifts? If the Lord will give a blessing under the reading of a sermon, is that then not more than all the many oratory gifts that the Lord may give unto a minister? We know that the lively word that is to be desired. But let us never look at the external gifts over and above the gift of the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit of the Lord himself. Before the ascension, the disciples, they had so many questions. They even had many doubts. But that changed here, we read, on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of the Lord came in his person to bring all things unto their remembrance. Did their state then change? They did not receive their change of state. They did not in that day become alive. They were not in that day converted. They were not in that day regenerated. A change of state that belongs to regeneration and that never changes again. But on the day of Pentecost, there was certainly a great change in the condition of those disciples. We hear Peter and the other disciples speak in a way that they have never spoken before. We hear them speak with an assurance that they have never known before. The Bible that speaks about young men, it speaks about children, young men, and fathers in grace. A child. Is a child less alive than his father? You say, of course not. They are both alive. We are either alive or we are not alive. But there is yet a great difference between a child and his father. Because what is the difference between a child and his father? Well, we know that there are certain steps, there are certain stages in natural life. There is, in the first place, different conditions of natural life, because life may thrive or life may not thrive. A person may be healthy, a person may be sick. That may be a child, healthy or sick, a young man, healthy or sick, different conditions. But there are also different stages in life, that is, in natural life. What does Paul say? When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So there is not only differences in conditions of people, health and sickness, but there are certain, in a natural way, certain stages. There is a child and a child, he becomes a man. And there's a difference between a child and a man. And there's a difference between a man and a father. Certainly, when the condition changes, that does not mean they are in a different stage of life. But when they come to a different stage of life, then certainly there is a difference also in their condition. The Old Testament church. The Old Testament church, Paul says, saw through a glass, darkly. But he says, now, face to face. Something of this is what may take place for the disciples in a personal way on the day of Pentecost. Young people, we live in poor times. That is sad to have to say. In a certain way, we live in the richest time in the whole world. We live in a time after the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. But when we are honest, then we have to say that that Holy Spirit, that same Spirit, has greatly been withdrawn. Sometimes, young people, we hear, not just young people. Sometimes we hear people, they speak in a way that is very grieving to God's people. Why? They speak about faith. They speak about the duty of faith, the duty to believe. We do not deny those things. But you know what we also do not hear then? You do not hear and you do not see repentance, sorrow, godly sorrow. You do not see, you do not hear about conversion. And you know, they are also typically the same persons who become very irritated, very agitated, when you begin to speak about the dealings of the Lord with his people. It is as if these people, they have already attained. They know more than the Apostle Paul, who says, not as though I have already attained, neither were already perfect, but he says, I follow after. I follow after. Pentecost is not Christmas. Pentecost is not Good Friday. Pentecost is not Easter. Pentecost is not ascension. Not literally, not in their meaning, and also not in the experience of these matters. Sadly, we are hard-pressed today to find even of God's people that they can in an intelligible way speak in an experimental way about the matters contained in Good Friday, the matters contained on Easter. Is it any wonder that the Lord, he says, I will go to my place until they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. But there are riches. There are riches that are to be obtained by the church of God. Or if only they may be sought after, because there is so much that is missed. To experience Christmas in our heart, that is to experience the birth of that Son of God in the stable of our heart. A man he does not forget that day. Wonder of wonders, they are the gladdest tidings that a man has ever heard in his whole life. He can understand then why those angels sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. How then can a man experience what Christmas is if his heart has never become a stable? And yet there are persons who do attempt to speak about such things. There are those of God's true people who have never experienced yet what Christmas is. Of God's true people to whom Christ has never yet revealed himself, their heart that is still becoming a stable. And then there are others that may say something by experience of what that is, and who may speak about it. But how does the way now go after the experience of the revelation of that mediator? It goes congregation. It goes down. It descends. Just follow the disciples. 3 years. That people, they may receive the instruction of Christ. How good it was for them. So much that people may learn by that Spirit of the Lord. But the way, that way went continually against their expectations. That way went continually down, down, down into the grave. Tell me something. Did the disciples lose their life on Good Friday? Say, of course not. Christ paid the price on Good Friday. That is true. But how was it in the experience of the disciples on Good Friday? Then everything that was in the grave, it goes into the grave. After Christmas, unto Good Friday. How is it possible for a person to speak about justification that belongs to Easter, Paul says, the justification of God's church that is by the resurrection of Christ from the dead? How is it possible that a people can speak about that justification and have never experienced what it means to be Good Friday? Is it possible to be resurrected if we have never died? Is it possible that it is Easter before that it is Good Friday? Then we have everything backwards, we have everything upside down. In the ascension and at the sitting of the right at the right hand of God, the church, they experience reconciliation. Just read Romans 8. There you read, Paul says, he speaks about Christ who is sitting at the right hand of God and a church that is inseparable from him. Thus, a church that is reconciled unto God. What, however, do we read is now that special work of the Spirit of the Lord that descended on that day of Pentecost. Do you know what he is called in the Word of God? He is called the Spirit of Adoption. What is adoption? Adoption is not merely reconciliation. Adoption is more than reconciliation. Adoption is a further benefit than reconciliation. Adoption that is to be received as a child. Not everyone who is reconciled is received as a child. Paul, he says that we receive the Spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And he says, if children, then heirs. What is an heir? An heir that belongs, that is a child. That is the legal right of a child when he is an heir. This is the knowledge that true church of God is looking for, is yearning for, is waiting for. That they may be able to know for themselves, that they may be given to proceed in those steps that the Lord is leading and instructing his people in. There are so many people, young people, we say your name, we should not say your name so much. It is not just young people, it is all of us. But you have people all around you. You get out into this world. You hear things, and it can sound so biblical. But be so careful. Because there are so many people that do not hesitate to call God their Father. But we are afraid that they know not what they do. To be able to call God our Father is one of the highest steps of grace. It really belongs to the experience of Pentecost. If they did it in a true childlike manner as a little child, that would be one thing. But we fear there is often so much ignorance and so much unholy boldness. You say it is in the Lord's Prayer. That is true. To whom was that given? It was given to his children. Are you a child? How do you know that you are a child? If we will use that prayer rightly, we must be a child. You say, may we not use it? Of course we may use it. But we say, you cannot use it rightly. We cannot use it rightly unless we are a child. Oh, congregation, there are so many. Is that not a benefit? Is that not a desire? Are you ever jealous of a child, parents? Ever jealous grandparents? You go back, you see the time of a child. What a life. A child. Take them by the hand. Father worries, carries the burdens, and mother carries the burdens. And child, he may just obey. Beautiful time, children, that you live in. Do you believe that? You say, I want to go older, older, older. And your parents, sometimes they say, I wish I could just be a child again. And you know what the Lord Jesus says? He says, except you be converted and you become like a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And now to know, oh, to know that we are a child, then we can be just like a child. Oh, to walk as a child through this world and to have him to carry all the burdens. That is now the benefit of Pentecost. If we may know something of it. It is all, we heard it this morning, it is that Spirit of the Lord, he is uniting that people unto Christ. And he is giving in the heart to experience the benefits that are flowing out of that mediator. And the benefits flowing out of that mediator, they are so very, very many. And they are so comforting. What does the catechism say? What is the only comfort in life and in death? To know that I am not my own, but that I belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. There is the beginning, and there is the ending. O congregation, do we now desire? What would you desire? When you die, you're laying on your deathbed. You want to be a millionaire? Or would you rather know that you were a child? Say, I'd rather know I am a child. Then what are you seeking? Then what are you seeking? The harvest. Look upon the fields. Look upon the world. Lift up your eyes. It is white. It is all ready to harvest. It is going on. Already for 2,000 years. The harvest. It won't be much longer. It cannot be much longer. Everything points that that harvest that is coming to a close. That is now the time we are living in with our children. Are we a child? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, do lead us into thy truth, that we may be given to know, that we may be given even to desire it. For by nature we have no desire. We see not the beauty. We see not the preciousness. Open our poor blind eyes and give us to see. And wilt thou give thy truth a place in the hearts of young and old. Forgive thou our many sins. Help us in the rest of this day, in the week that is to come. And give us truth in the inward parts, uprightness within. Thy Spirit to lead us and keep us from a sudden and an unprepared death. Humble us under all thy gifts received and give us to redeem the time, for the days are evil. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful. For Jesus' sake, amen. 431, 1, 2, 3 and 6. Unto God our King, joy and strength of Israel, lofty anthem sing, glorious are his ways, to his name give praise with the harp and timbrel. 1, 2, 3 and 6 of Psalter 431.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.